Well, welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And we are finishing up our three-week series called Taboo, where we've really been looking into some current controversies in our day and seeing how in the midst of those controversies, we need timeless truths. And each week we've looked at how we want to pursue the hard lines or the fault lines of biblical truth rather than the headlines of cultural trends. And so we've talked about violence and sexuality. And this past week was looking at slavery, another one of those topics that non-Christians and even Christians have to wrestle with. And sometimes when we encounter things in the scriptures that are hard or challenging, we can feel like as believers, we've got to just find a way to talk it or explain it away without really kind of leaning in and seeing what's really going on, which is why it's important that we are men and women who study the Bible and seek to understand it, that it is a literature. Like it was written in to a certain people at a certain time with a certain culture, and there were certain assumptions regarding when it was written, and we have to look to understand those things. That's why it's a good study Bible can be super beneficial. But this past Sunday, in looking at this topic around slavery, I kind of focused around the two problematic passages that we find in the Old Testament specifically. And while the New Testament's concept of slavery was a little bit different than the Old Testament and how culture had began to shift and change in some ways. But the two in the Old Testament in Exodus 21, where it talks about when you buy a Hebrew slave, you know, really talking about from Hebrew to Hebrew, if you were to buy a slave. And so it feels like very much so right there it is. The Bible endorses slavery. In Leviticus 25, it talks about when you go in and you buy slaves from the nations around you, that they may be your property. So in essence, it appears that a person can become your own personal property, which seems inherent to slavery. And so how do we deal with that? What do we think about that? Does the Bible endorse it, promote it, all of those kinds of things? And that's a helpful thing for us to ask, right? Because I think we look at slavery and we see it's wrong. Like it is wrong to take somebody against their will, to force them to do something that they do not want to do. And to limit their freedoms, right? And we see that. And I agree. And as Christians, we should seek the liberation of anyone that's being held captive against their will, right? It's so much why even so much of what we do here at LifePoint is we love partnering with Out of Darkness, which seeks to help those that are in sex trafficking, that are oftentimes being trafficked for what they can produce and treated as property. And we want to help elevate the status of men and women made in the image of God by seeking to help them to come out of that and to experience freedom in Jesus. And so on Sunday, in looking at this topic, I talked about, let's look at regarding slavery. What does the Bible say regarding slavery? How did the Bible seek to actually reform slavery? And then ultimately how the Bible is about releasing slaves. And so regarding slavery, really, I think in a succinct way here, slavery, as we think of it today, we think of the modern transatlantic slave trade, where many in Europe and other places went into Africa and sought, because of ethnicities, right, that there was a superiority view, a favoritism that some races were better than others. And so they would go and treat other races as subhuman, and to kidnap them and to take them away from their homeland and their families and force them into labor and to not give them any rights. No sense of freedom. We're literally treated like property. And the Bible a whole over and over again speaks against that kind of treatment of humans. Even in the Old Testament, I talked about in passages from Exodus 21 that says anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death. That's pretty straightforward, right? Dean has talked about, let's look at the plain reading of scripture, right? If somebody kidnaps another human being, that is punishable, but corporal punishment, that you are taking someone that is not your own and you are kidnapping them. And that's exactly what was going to the Bible forebodes that. Even in the New Testament, Paul to Timothy describes in 1 Timothy 1:10 about how those who are enslavers, those who seek to take people kidnapped and to sell them into slavery, that is a sin, that is not permissible in the kingdom ethic there. So the Bible speaks against that kind of treatment of people. But what's going on in these passages where it seems that they are? Well, oftentimes in that ancient Near Eastern culture, It was a way of work that for those that maybe were in poor circumstances, owed a debt, they could not pay, oftentimes they would be able to be bought as slaves, that they would come in and in essence would work to repay their debts. And even within Hebrew culture, it would no longer, they could not be a slave for another Hebrew for more than 6 years. The seventh year, they were released free. And so there was the opportunity for freedom in the midst of that, or when they pay off their debt. And the other nations coming in, there was a way in which they were to treat these men and women to come under their homes, right? That they would come and they would work, that they would help them from an economic standpoint. And this was a very much a cultural, it felt like a standard that much of Near Eastern culture, and even historians have found in pretty much every culture and every time, except for the last several hundred years, the idea of slavery, that people came in and worked, was just a part of the culture that was there. And so that doesn't mean it was a good thing. It just means that it was there. And the Bible, rather than going and trying to necessarily usurp maybe the political establishments in a failed sweep, sought to really help to differentiate and say, in the midst of these things, here's how you should operate. Because this is happening, this is how God's people should act. And really, the Old Testament sought to, and the New Testament sought to reform slavery. That's where I went next. On Sunday was how the Bible's teaching was so countercultural to how men and women were to be treated. That even in Job talks about that if I've denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, when they heard of a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? Really, Job is saying that if those that are in my house that are working as servants for me, in essence, kind of slaves, if I have mistreated them, I am answerable before God. And so I think there is a sense of how we treated one another is rooted back in the creation narrative that men and women are made in the image of God and deserving of dignity. And Jesus in his teaching, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. That his guiding word of how we treat one another should be marked by love, love of God and love of neighbor. And so the gospel is good news for everyone. And as it changes people, those people began to change culture. And that's where I think so much of the liberation of slavery, the abolition of slavery from people like William Wilberforce and others were rooted in the Christian ethic of how we treat one another in the image of God. And that's where ultimately I just ended on Sunday was talking about releasing slaves, that God wants to free people from bondage. And yes, that is true of physical slavery, right? Paul would even say, if you have an opportunity to obtain your freedom, take it, right? But Jesus goes even further and says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And while slavery bothers us, it should bother us that we are being held captive. Physical, we should want to help free people from that, that there's a greater reality that every single one of us is held captive to sin. Because we sin, we are enslaved to sin. And Paul says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. And Jesus came to free slaves. He said this upon his arriving, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to free the captives, recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. For if the Son sets you free, right, you will be free indeed. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Jesus came to free us from the enslavement of sin. And while the Bible helps speaks against those things, the Bible does not endorse it. The Bible helps us to think about how do we treat human beings. And ultimately, the scriptures teach us about a liberation to where we are able to live truly free as human beings from oppression and from the oppression of sin that comes through Christ. And so just to think about that, the question I want to ask you as we finish here is, are you living in freedom? Or are you living enslaved to sin? Because Jesus would say, I want you to be free and to live free. As we walk with him, as we trust in him, as we seek to obey his commands, we experience the freedom that God designed for us. So let's pray for ourselves that we be people living in that freedom. And may we be a people here at LifePoint that promote that freedom to those around us, whether there's trafficking and physical slavery that we're still seeking to end, but most certainly the spiritual slavery that many of us experience, have seen, and want to see God deliver us from. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thanks that while we have difficult topics over the last several weeks, we can have comfort that your word is truth, and your word can help us discover what is true, right, and good. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way that you can help enlighten our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to trust you, believe in your word, and seek to be people who don't shrink back, but can stand firm in what your scriptures teach. And God, to know that in your word, we have freedom. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want people to live free, to live the way in which God has designed us to live and to treat one another. And we look forward to the day, Jesus, when you return, when you make all things new, Lord, and we get to experience freedom from any oppression, and we get to truly live an eternal life free from that kind of oppression, to live as free people as you have desired us to live. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you take a moment to pray for yourself, perhaps that you would live in freedom, and maybe those around you that perhaps you know might be enslaved to sin, that they could experience freedom in Christ? Let's pray.